Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and to YouTube. And we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we talked about the new covenant, and we went through the four promises that are laid out for us. So this was God choosing to bless us in Christ, and these four promises are the specific ways in which God chose to bless us. And those are just powerful promises. They're far-reaching as far as their impact is concerned on our day-to-day lives. They give us everything that we need for life and godliness. That's exactly what Peter said in his second letter. These precious promises contain in them everything that we need for life and godliness. So this is a powerful will. This is a powerful blessing that God has bestowed upon us in Christ. Life, assurance, forgiveness, relationship. There's nothing more that our hearts long for. So everything that we ever needed, everything that we ever wanted has been given to us in Jesus Christ. So now that this new covenant is in place, what happens to the old covenant? Well, at the end of chapter 8, the writer had these words, and speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. In chapter 7, he says this, on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. So what has happened to that old covenant? Well, first of all, the new covenant makes it obsolete.
Yes.
There's no more need for it. Why? Because it's done its job. It's fulfilled its purpose. It has carried out its design to its ultimate end. And now there's a new covenant. So we're under that new covenant. So we don't need to try to blend the old with the new. We just need to set it aside as God has done and really embrace all of these promises that are in the new covenant. So the reason it is set aside, because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And that is such a powerful statement there. You know, this word perfect, we think of it in terms of flawless perfection, without sin. But the word is actually the Greek word telos, and it means to reach a stated end, to get to a goal. So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," telos is in that word, tetelestai, that he cried out from the cross. And it meant that his work, as far as sin was concerned, as far as fulfilling the old covenant was concerned, had been completed. Uh-huh. He had reached the goal. He had carried out the will of his Father on behalf of you and me. So this word perfection is about reaching a goal. So the old covenant was weak and useless in helping us reach our goal, reach a right standing in God's sight. It couldn't deliver us there.
No.
All it could do was to show us our sinfulness, show us that we had missed the mark, that we were not in right standing with God. So if we were going to be in right standing with God, something else was going to have to take place.
Yes.
And that something else took place in the person of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. So the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. So in that old covenant, there was really no hope at all. In this new covenant, we have a living hope. It is attached to the resurrected Jesus Christ. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever." So the Levitical priesthood, they fulfilled their duties, then their role was over, they gave way to the next generation, into the next generation, into the next generation. But this Jesus Christ, he was a different kind of priest. He was a priest with an indestructible life, a life that is forever. So he is our priest forever. So what does this make Jesus? the guarantor of a better covenant. So your eternal life, your security, your forgiveness is guaranteed by Jesus Christ himself. He is the guarantor of all of these marvelous promises that we have in the new covenant. That's why it's good news. That's why it's called the gospel of grace. That's why it changes lives from the inside out. If you want your life to change, you're going to have to get rid of all of those mixed messages. You're going to have to do exactly what God did with the old covenant. Set it aside. Why? Because it is obsolete. You have a better covenant. Those two aren't comparable. They're not apples to apples or oranges to oranges. This old covenant is like the moon to the sun. It is that stark of a contrast between the two. The glory of the old is like the moon. The glory of the new is like the sun. Which do you want? The sun. The sun indeed. So set aside that old. Don't try to blend the two. Embrace this new, and you will walk in the fullness of this life that you have in Christ Jesus.
I think that's good news. Do you think that's good news?
Yeah, I think that's good. I wish I'd known that news when I was 10.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy,
it would save a lot of heartache, wouldn't it?
Yeah. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, friends, we hope that you think it's good news as well. And it's the kind of good news that your gift to Basic Gospel keeps on the air. And this month, with your gift to Basic Gospel, we have a wonderful gift for you. It's Bob Christopher's CD called God's Will for You. I almost lost it there. God's Will for You. It's something that I struggled with early in my life. You know, what was God's will for me? And lie in bed at night and think, you know, how in the world am I ever going to make it to heaven? But, you know, thank God through Jesus Christ, we have that answer. And that's the answer that we give every day on Basic Gospel. And we're dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live in that good news. Well, remember, the message will solidify your assurance that within the new covenant, you're always in the center of God's will. No fear, no failure. And so a copy of God's Will for You is yours when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click the large link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. 24 hours a day, that number is available. Or again, online at basicgospel.net. It's really good news.
Yes, it is. We had a question that was left on our Facebook page yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Miles was watching us live through our Facebook live feed, and so he wrote this: are there cautions for us that God's will for us calls us to be humble and that we have our convictions but leave judgment to God only? So how do we answer that, Richard? How do we respond to this gospel of grace? How do we fully embrace and maintain those strong convictions that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life, yet live in this world without judgment toward others? How do those two go hand in glove?
Only in the power of the Spirit. I know myself, as soon as I began to learn what this new covenant meant, I wanted to grab everybody by the lapel and pound them into the pavement until they accepted it. That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work. And so I tended to be judgmental. I brought it with me out of my legalism. I brought it into this new world of grace. But what the Spirit does with us is it teaches us how to love people with whom we disagree. So I don't have to agree with someone, but I don't have to punch them in the face either. The only answer that I know of is we continually take people to Jesus. You know? If someone disagrees with my standing on the new covenant, for example, all I have to say, well, what did Jesus do? What did he accomplish? Engage them in that conversation, and the love of God can change their hearts just like it changed my heart. That's the only way to do it, because otherwise I'm trying to figure out in my own strength, you know, how do I approach this? How do I approach this? And that doesn't work, again, because I'm looking to myself instead of looking to Jesus.
Yes. And in this new covenant, we see that a judgment by God has already been made.
Correct.
Toward sin. I mean, he judged it for what it was. He condemned it. He punished it for what it was. Mm-hmm. So that judgment has already been made. We don't have to go about that.
It's
we don't have
job.
To try to take that on our shoulders and go out there and judge the world. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save it. Why? Because people are lost. They need salvation. They need new life. We can go out there in the world and know that God is not counting men's sins against them. So we can maintain our convictions that Jesus is the way, truth, yes, and the life. We can also maintain our conviction that Jesus' shed blood has already dealt with sin, has already dealt a fatal blow to sin. And so in that truth, standing on that rock, that good news, we can offer life to those who are dead in sin. And that's what this gospel message is all about. When we really understand that, then evangelism becomes the most exciting thing that we could ever engage in, because we have the opportunity to see right before our very eyes somebody who was dead in sin come to life in Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not something that you've done.
Yeah.
This is the power of the resurrection that is coming to bear in a person's life and raising them in exactly the same way that it raised Jesus from the dead some 2,000 years ago. So we have to realize that judgment has already been made by God. We don't have to take that upon ourselves. We can just simply just jump into the current of Christ's life, of God's power, and let it take us wherever He so desires, and just be available to Him to share that saving life with others.
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, we would love to hear from you live right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hello. Real quick, and then I'll listen off there so somebody else can get the phone line. I'd like you all to comment and kind of toss around this question. What makes people mix law and grace? Is it just bad teaching? Or I don't really understand. I mean, I've got my ideas on how it comes about, but could you discuss how people come to mix law and grace, and yet they don't even read Hebrews chapter 8? Could you please discuss? Thank you.
Sure will, Brad. Thanks for bringing that to the table today. That's a very important question. It is a question that the entire New Testament addresses. So this isn't a modern-day problem, a modern-day issue. It is something that has plagued the church for over 2,000 years. So the book of Galatians, Paul is attacking the mixed messages that people were living by in the province of Galatia, and they were trying to mix the old with the new. They were trying to say, yes, we're saved by grace, but they were perfecting themselves through human effort. That's a mixed message.
Yes.
Many people today say, oh, yes, we're saved by grace, but we have to live the Christian life in obedience to the law. That's a mixed message. That's why so many Christians are frustrated. Now, I think the reason for that is that we don't understand the purpose of the law. If we understood the purpose of the law, we would never try to mix the two. Why? Because they're like oil and water. They can't mix. If you mix them, you're going to lose the purpose and power of each.
Yeah.
So we have to look and ask the question, what is the purpose of the law? Paul asked that and answered it in the book of Galatians. What is the purpose of the law? Why then did God give the law? And Paul answered that in Galatians, in the book of Romans. We see it in Colossians. We see it all throughout the New Testament, don't we? So, Richard, what is the purpose of the law? Why did God give the law as far as we're concerned? What did it do in our lives?
Well, it shows me that I could never measure up. It shows me that whatever it is that God is looking for, I don't have available in me. It shuts my mouth. I love the way Paul puts in Romans. It shuts my mouth. I cannot look at God and, you know, come up chin to chin with Him and say, but I've been good. And He looks at me and says, haven't you read the law? No, you haven't been good. I am the good one. I give you that goodness as a gift, but you can't work for it. The harder you try to work for it, the worse it gets. And so, in another place, Paul says he gave it so that sin might increase, so that grace would increase all the more. I mean, the law was there to point out our weakness and point us to Jesus, who is the only strength.
Right. So that's the purpose. Yeah. It's much like in modern medicine, some of these high-power diagnostic tools that are now available to us. We can go in, we can get a PET scan, we can get a CAT scan, we can get an MRI, and all of those high-tech, powerful machines do is look inside of us, mm-hmm. and they point out what's wrong with us. But that's where they leave us. They can't cure us. They can't solve the problem. They simply reveal what's going on in the side of us. That's what the law did. It revealed what was happening on the inside. It showed us that we couldn't measure up. We've got a devotional that's coming out in the next week or the week after, and it asks the question, what if? What if the law was God's last word to man? Where would that leave us? What would that mean to us on a day-to-day basis? Well, where does the law leave everyone? Judged, condemned, punished.
Uh-huh.
That's what the law does. That's all it can do. That's the language that it speaks. But praise be to God that that wasn't the last word to man, that Jesus Christ himself is.
Yes.
So to keep us from mixing these messages, we have to know the purpose. Once we know the purpose of the law, we're not going to try to blend those two. We're going to set it aside as God has done. We're going to recognize that it's obsolete, and we're going to grab hold of Jesus, and we're going to trust him, and we're going to allow him to live his life through us through the Holy Spirit.
But you've got to know, dear listener, that battle is natural. It is part of the flesh versus the spirit. We have a choice. We can listen to the flesh and go off the rails, or we can listen to the spirit and walk by faith in this grace that we've been given. So it's a natural battle. Don't think that you're gone, crazy or something. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
Focus on Jesus. You'll get the answer.
Absolutely. Well, friends, at Basic Gospel, we're always getting questions about forgiveness. There's a lot of confusion because many believers just don't understand that God loves them and that they belong to him forever. With your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you the new CD that can help. It's entitled God's Will for You. The new covenant actually is God's will, ushered in at the death of Jesus. And in that will, you're going to find out everything that you need to live a life of assurance. This CD, God's Will for You, is yours with your gift, as I said this month, to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. There's a huge link right on the front page, a very well done link, I might say, Greg, and I would just click that link. Or you can call 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours daily. Or again, go online to basicgospel.net. We'd like for you to have a copy of God's Will for You.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk to William. Hi, William. Welcome to Basic Gospel this afternoon.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to add my two cents in on this issue of the purpose of the law. One way to look at it is that it was given to defeat self-righteousness, which is probably the biggest obstacle to turning to Christ for salvation. Why do you need to be saved if you're a righteous person? And like Paul wrote, I believe, in the book of Romans, sin was in the world before the law, but without law, it's not taken into account.
Yeah, you're exactly right, William. It's it's like somebody that's in a Ferrari. And they're, speeding down the road and it's, 100 miles an hour. And, they think, hey, this is fun. This is the way it's supposed to be. And then they run across a sign that says speed limit 55. Well, they had been going 100 for a long time before they saw the sign. The sign just revealed to them that what they were doing had missed the mark. That was all about their enjoyment in driving the car instead of recognizing that there might be danger for others who would be close by. So that somebody in that speeding car, they had been sinning for a long time. It's just a sign that revealed to them that they were missing the mark, and that's what the law did. It revealed to us what sin really was so that we would know, so that we could turn to Christ for salvation. And that's good news. So once the law has done its work, let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on to Jesus. Jesus is better. He delivers to us a better hope. He delivers to us life. He delivers to us reconciliation, everything that we need for life and godliness. So let's leave the law where it was supposed to be and grab hold of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, thanks, William. We sure appreciate it. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. This question is kind of baffling me a little bit, but as we mature in the Lord, we really don't need discipline. We just need to grow in His love. And discipline is for the lost. Is that?
Well, Mary Jo, discipline is not a negative word. Discipline is actually a positive word. And so God disciplines His children. As a matter of fact, His discipline really is one of the signs of assurance that yes. we belong to God. That's an aspect of His love toward you, Mary Jo. It's an aspect of His love toward me. And that word discipline is a form of the word disciple. What's a disciple? He's a learner. So what is God doing when He is disciplining us? He is teaching us truth. So He is helping our minds align with the truth of who we are in Christ, the truth of what Christ has accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection, and the truth of Christ living His life through us. So God is constantly teaching us about this great gospel of grace, and as we learn, that's when we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. So discipline is a very, very positive word. You look at Hebrews chapter 12, it says the result of discipline is a harvest of righteousness.
Yes.
So that's not something that we need to shrink away from. It's something that we should welcome because ultimately it's for our benefit. It's the thing that God does in our lives to help us really experience this life in abundance.
Okay.
Does that make
All
sense,
right.
Mary Jo?
Yeah, it does. It's just I have trouble retaining what you say. You say stuff so vividly, yet when the next day I can't really remember it as well.
Yeah. Well, just remember this, Mary Jo. Discipline is God's love towards you so that you can experience the abundant life that He's given you in Christ. It's a good thing. Welcome it as a good thing, okay?
Okay. Now, see, say it again.
Okay. Discipline is what God does to enable us to fully experience His abundant life, the abundant life that He has given us in Christ Jesus. It's not punishment. Jesus took the punishment of all of your sins, Mary Jo. So it's not about punishment. It's about helping you walk by faith and experience all the blessings that you have in Jesus. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Hey, thank you, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
That's a very confusing topic because many people look at discipline as a form of punishment.
Yeah, oh, no, I did something
wrong. Right. Well, if you're looking at it as a form of punishment, you don't really know that Christ took away your punishment at the cross. That's where punishment took place. So He took it all. There's none left for you. So welcome this discipline as a good thing. Embrace this abundant life that you have in Christ.
Absolutely. And friends, remember, with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you a copy of the new CD entitled God's Will for You. In this message, Bob Christopher explains the new covenant in terms of a will. God's will, effective at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that will, you're going to find everything you need to live a life of assurance. God's Will for You is your gift this month from Basic Gospel. As you make your gift, as I said, just click that large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or online, as I said, at basicgospel.net. Remember also that we're streaming live video every day to Facebook and YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of that new venue. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to be with us for a study edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow at this time. Bye-bye.